Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. Jim, we see different public approval numbers for the president from time to time. We've spent a long time since we've seen one this low. 41% only approving the job that President Obama is doing. This according to McClatchy. Other polls don't have it quite that low, but just about everybody's got it substantially lower than when he was sworn in for his second term a little over 6 months ago. Not a ton of analysis from the Marist Institute for Public Opinion at Marist College, which conducted the survey. Their high point for Obama was 50%, which is a little bit lower than most of the other surveys, but they basically see the American people wanting a laser-like focus on the economy, which the president keeps promising to do, and then he pivots to something else and then pivots back to jobs. According to Marist Institute here, it looks like when he stops talking about the economy, people get more pessimistic. It potentially could also be because the economy doesn't get that much better. But what do you make of the fact that at least one survey's got him at a point where almost 6 in 10 don't like the job he's doing?
Greg, if you have a laser-like focus on the economy and you're constantly pivoting back to it, don't you run the risk of cutting everything in half with your laser? Got a picture of just zzz, and all of a sudden thing, you know, people's heads are being sliced off and trees are cutting in half and, you know, everything's kind of got that fried look when a lightsaber goes through it. Anyway, those metaphors really need to be focused. You can either focus like a laser or you can pivot, but you really can't do both, because if you're pivoting, it means you were focused somewhere else. So as cheery as it is on the right to see Obama at 41%, a number that I think a lot of us feel he deserves, you know, the ABC News Washington Post poll has him down to 49. What that poll points to is that, you know, the country is pretty divided on all kinds of issues and kind of sour, I would point out, on all kinds of issues. Obamacare continues to be pretty darn unliked. 49% disapprove of it. 42% approve. Kind of interesting on immigration. The country splits about evenly on the Gang of Eight bill. 46% in favor, 44% oppose. They point out that strong critics well outnumber strong supporters. One of the things kind of interesting about this is that they really like the idea of breaking it into pieces. 53% like that. Only 32% want an up or down vote on the whole package. Something that strikes us as fairly common sense, that, you know, when you create these giant omnibus bills, this is when they start sticking in AIG bonuses and all kinds of other little things that you're like, wait, what, why did we vote for that? Oh, because they stuck it in the fine print that nobody looked at very far. I think it's worth saying that the state of the country is fairly sour. I think that, you know, there is still a great deal of frustration, anger, and depression on the right over Obama's reelection. I think there's a certain amount of letdown amongst folks for Obama that here we are. It's now July. We're now a half year into his fifth year in office. Unemployment still 7.6%. If you've got stocks, things are going great. But otherwise, for most people, the economy is just kind of limping along with a great deal of anxiety out there. And so it's starting to have an effect on Obama's approval numbers. The problem is, one is that he's not running for reelection, so right. You can argue how much that is. Two, people are not gravitating towards the Republican Party. Basically, there is this frustrated, angry, sour mood. Country very much believes that the country's going into the wrong direction, and there's an opportunity there for some Republican to step in and offer a better, more optimistic plan for getting the country in a better spot. But for the most part, I think most Americans are just kind of tuning everything out at summertime and not counting on anybody in Washington to get anything any better.
Yeah, before Republicans get too excited here, the congressional approval number that I saw this morning was 21%, which is actually up 5 points from 16% in the most recent survey. So, woohoo for Congress. Only 80% of Americans hate you now. So the good news for Republicans is that Obama's clearly not building momentum for his popularity, and so it's going to be hard for a lot of Democrats in all different sorts of situations next year during the midterms to want him to come in and just kind of give his rubber stamp of approval, and that'll be a big boost for them. A lot of them, just like in 2010, will probably want him to stay far away, and that in of itself is good news that he's not going to be much of a factor based on these numbers next year, but obviously a lot can change between now and then. On to martini number two now, and as Jim reported this morning in the Morning Jolt, not a lot of attention on Iraq in the last year and a half, since that's when the U.S. troops pulled out at the end of 2011. But that doesn't mean things are all that great there. We do see on, you know, the news ticker on the cable news channels or deep into the news pages of the major dailies about car bombs and other explosions that rip through marketplaces and take out a dozen people. And it's not exactly an uncommon occurrence there. Now, Jim has reported, and others, of course, are as well, that there was a major prison break from Abu Ghraib, basically a military-style assault on the prison. Some 500 now al-Qaeda types, some who are so nefarious they've been sentenced to death, and just about all of them are considered among the worst of the worst, are essentially free, and we have no idea where they are now. So just when we thought we were kind of safe from that environment over there, not so much.
Our bad martinis continue to be doozies, Craig. We find one bad one after another. I can't begrudge anyone for saying, after all the blood and treasure spent by Americans in Iraq, and a sense that the Iraqis do not necessarily quite appreciate the enormous sacrifices Americans made to remove the dictator and give them a chance for self-governance and a sense to build a better future for Iraq, I can't begrudge people saying, who cares about that place? It's not our problem anymore. Let the Sunni and the Shia and the Kurds all fight each other and kill each other. It's not our problem anymore. You can say you're not interested in the world, but the world may still be interested in you. And, you know, first of all, this really was a military-style assault and basically breaking out all these guys. 500 escaped inmates, most of them senior members of al-Qaeda, a bunch of them on death row. I mean, these are the worst of the worst. Now, are any of them going to come here to America? Probably not, but, you know, Iraq just became a much more dangerous place. You know, by sheer numbers and by sheer fact that these guys are all veteran militants and terrorists, they're probably going at some point going to start trouble. And they may start trouble in Iraq, or they may start trouble over in Syria or in other neighboring countries. And even if the U.S. doesn't have a lot of troops left in Iraq, one, we still have Americans left in Iraq in terms of working at the embassy there. And certainly that's got to be a high target for them. And obviously our allies in Jordan and around the region. So, you know, the Middle East, as much as you thought it was a dangerous place 2 days ago, it became even more dangerous yesterday. One other point that I mentioned in the jolt, and I think kind of illustrates the intensity and the, you know, the frightening ramifications of the violence we're seeing in the Middle East right now. The death toll in the Iraq war is very hotly contested. There are some who say it was only up to 1 million. A lot of people argue with that. If you take the broad general measuring stick of the range of the most seriously considered estimates, it's between 100,000 and 200,000. Well, you know, listeners may remember that the Syrian civil war casualty count passed 100,000 by most estimates last month or in the past couple of weeks. And we know it's not over yet. And while it looks like Assad is getting the upper hand, I don't think anyone would count on this war ending anytime soon. So the Syrian civil war death toll is now starting to match the Iraq war death toll. And we heard about the Iraq war. I mean, that, first of all, that went on for you know, a good 8 years there. And then secondly, there's a lot of fear that what we're seeing in Syria is this long simmering Sunni versus Shia fight in which, you know, the capacity for an enormous death toll, civilian massacres. We've already heard the reports of sarin gas use. As much as we've thought of the Middle East as being a bunch of basket cases for most of our lifetime, it can get worse, and it does appear to be getting worse. And so this is about as bad a martini as you can get. A lot of folks in the administration seem to just not want to think about this that much and not really pay too much attention to it.
On to martini number three now, and a little bit more levity, Jim, but as you all know, the implementation of Obamacare, not exactly going as smoothly as possible. There's already been the unilateral delay of 1 year for the employer mandate, but the exchanges are still going up October 1st and the individual mandate into effect at the start of 2014. They need to ramp up support for this because they need a lot of healthy young people who aren't still on their parents' insurance policies to get coverage in order to make this thing work financially. So the president is rolling out his celebrity buddies to do this. According to The Hill, he met Monday with the likes of Jennifer Hudson, Amy Poehler, Oprah Winfrey, Alicia Keys, and Bon Jovi. And they're also working with Funny or Die and Will Ferrell to try and really ramp up the PR effort for this in the next few months to get folks on board. So, Jim, if you weren't already planning to buy health insurance for yourself, perhaps a 30-second infomercial from a celebrity will convince you to spend that money.
You know, Will Ferrell, boy, I can't think of a bigger healthcare policy expert that I would cite. You know, really my true North Star on complicated policy issues. I assume because Cal Penn is involved that medicinal marijuana is covered, correct?
Probably.
I will credit Jennifer Hudson, whatever diet worked for her, Weight Watchers. Obviously, that's a health program we can all get behind. I was going to put an Amy Poehler joke in there, but I don't have anything good there, so I'll just skip over to say. Insert Bon Jovi joke here. Didn't he sing It's My Life? It's
yes.
Now or Never?
Yes.
But apparently the government can make you buy health insurance. That's it there. When Medicare and Medicaid came out, Greg, did they need these giant celebrity sign-up campaigns? Like, this, doesn't it seem like this is the most enormous PR campaign tied into this? And it's one of those things where we all like to make the critique that, oh, Obama loves to campaign, but he's not that interested in governing. Obamacare's implementation is a frustunken mess. And they, you know, they can't, oh, this part's not going to be ready. Ah, this is a bit, oh, well, you know what, we're still working on the regulations for this part. The whole thing is like this Rube Goldberg contraption that keeps having things fall apart one after another. But they're still selling it. And it's like, look, you know, until the dog food is better, the dogs will not eat it, okay? The product stinks. Stop advertising it. Stop sitting around Kathleen Sebelius to rattle the steel cup and say, hey, give me money to promote this thing. Stop promoting it. Fix it first. Or, you know, from where I sit, this thing's a disaster. It's not fixable. And let's, you know, repeal the whole darn thing.
And, of course, this is going to cost money to advertise all this. I think the more convenient way to do all this would just be at every award show, have Kanye West interrupt them and make a pitch for Obamacare.
Ah, here we go. Yeah. If it were really good, would it really need all this advertising?
I know, especially after 4 years of building this up now, 3 years since the signing, but a full year leading up to that. And American people, independents and conservatives especially, but even a lot of Democrats aren't crazy about this thing. So I'm not sure what the ad campaign's going to do other than perhaps make a little bit of nibble around the edges financially and not lose quite as much money as they otherwise would.
In light of the way Obamacare has been, Greg, shouldn't we expect all these promotional videos to come in with lots of mistakes, be delayed, run over budget, you know, they use the wrong film stock, all kinds of stuff like that to louse things up?
Probably. I'm just not looking forward to the ads. They're going to throw them in there during the NFL. Since the NFL won't play ball with them, they're probably going to buy tons of airtime at huge expense, and we're going to have to watch them because, of course, we're going to be watching the game. So get ready for that, everybody.
It'll be the most cheesy and intolerable PSAs ever.
On all those good notes today, folks, we'll leave you there.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.